Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I have the special privilege of interviewing one of our Glam Girl Bikini coaches, Jamie Adams. And she is also one of the athletes that I train as well. She's a nationally qualified bikini competitor, and she was last year ranked in the top five at nationals in masters 50 plus. So without further ado, I want to have Jamie tell you a little bit about herself. Maybe Jamie, you can start with kind of where your competition journey began and how old were you when you first started competing? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, Amy, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to share my story. So my actual journey started back in 2016 when I decided that I needed to drop a few pounds. And at that time, I had no intentions of getting on stage, but then the trainers that I hired at that time did competitor training, and that kind of sparked my interest to consider getting on stage. So actually, at that time, I was 47, and I stepped on stage for the first time in May of 2017 at 48 years old.
That's awesome. So how did you, I know this because I kind of know your background. So tell our listeners what you actually did when you first started out, because I think it's kind of unique how you crossed over.
Oh, when I started out, when I was doing bikini and figure, when I did bikini and figure.
Yes.
So I didn't know actually which category I really fit in at that point. I felt like I could actually go figure, and I wanted to give it a try. But I really loved the bikini suit, so I wanted to be able to do both. So at that time, I actually did do, in 2017, three shows. And two of those three shows, I did both classes. I did figure and bikini.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you placed top five in both categories. Is that correct?
No, I placed top five. I think that was just kind of the fact there was only five of us in a figure class in the first time I competed. So I did get fifth place. And the second time I competed, I did get judges' feedback, and they said I was just kind of small, which I was kind of small because I was teetering between both classes. So I really wanted to see where I fit in. But again, it really came down to I liked the bikini suit so much better.
Okay. And so let's talk about that, because I think a lot of competitors, and I know that when I interview prospective athletes, and they're kind of wondering, where do I fit in when it comes to this? Like, what is it that the judges are looking for? Am I a figure competitor? Am I a bikini competitor? So something that I do know about you is that you have very pronounced quads. So I would say for a figure competitor, you have, you know, very developed quads. And so for you in bikini, we needed to work on your posterior chain and your glutes and all of that. But tell us a little bit about what the feedback was like in your upper body and like your lat spread and things like that. And kind of just share with our listeners a little bit of the differences and how you went through like posing and kind of that evolution.
Well, you know, with figure, it's that martini glass type. So I needed to get a little bit bigger on top to kind of match the quads that I was having. So I wasn't quite wide enough. So I wasn't carrying enough muscle and getting that lat spread. And those poses are a little bit held a little bit longer, and I needed to get a little wider. So I was just small with compared to the other girls on stage. It's not that I never could have gotten there. I just chose that I wanted to go bikini after that. And so the goal was, you know, how do I get lean enough? Because I never visualized myself as lean as a bikini competitor. So I really had to incorporate different workouts to start to lean out my quads and my legs to be able to get what they call the X shape or the hourglass shape for the bikini side. So going from martini to bikini was kind of
martini to bikini. I love it. We're going to coin that phrase, going from martini to bikini. So in 2017, you had decided that, you know, you're going to go all in for bikini, that your frame is more suitable for that division. So what and you kind of briefly mentioned that your training style had changed. Can you walk us through what that season looked like compared to the 2016 season?
Well, a lot has changed. You know, we're really focusing more on glutes and hamstrings these days, and of course, that seems to be the majority of feedback from most bikini competitors, is really just to build those glutes and hamstrings, but not with too much, just to get a nice round shape. So less steady state of cardio, more getting out and doing lots of walks, a little bit of HIIT training. So the style has changed quite a bit in terms of I'm not spending hours, or I would say, you know, an hour and a half a day closer to a show to get ready for a competition. So, you know, when I got a few weeks out, I would really be trying to lean out. I was spending a lot of time doing a lot of cardio and in addition to weight training. So morning was fast cardio. I would come home. I would change. I would eat breakfast. I would go back and do weight training. It was a big commitment at that time with all the cardio. It seemed a lot.
So just to give you her background, so in 2016 and 2017 and 18, Jamie was under different guidance. And so I think that it's important to bring this up because the past podcast that I've interviewed our coaches on our staff, so Chris Nicole, she's always been with me. Karina, same thing. So their journeys were a little bit different. And I never like to throw people under the bus or talk negatively about something. But I feel like if we can learn and get value from a past experience and move forward and finding a better, more sustainable way, I think that it's a valuable lesson to learn. So can you tell us about the difference between, so when you started with me in 2019, so last year, that, let's just kind of like do a comparison shot of 2018, where I believe you placed within the top five, and basically was you were nationally qualified in 2018. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? And then you kind of improved those placings and did your first national show, and placed top five, which is incredible for a first time stepping on a national stage. Can you kind of just compare and contrast like what those experiences were like with your diet, your nutrition, and then, like you said, you were doing hours and hours of cardio. So kind of give us like a snapshot of how those 2 years were different.
So, yeah, you were right. In 2018, I did nationally qualify by winning my master's class. So I was able to nationally qualify. And at that time, I just set a goal saying, you know, I really want to do a national show. I didn't know what national show, but I knew I wanted to do a national show. And I just wasn't real sure that I could get there where I was at. I needed probably at that time to make a change. You know, there's every experience brings knowledge. You learn something from each experience that you take on to the next, to your next chapter. And I felt it was just time for a new chapter. And I had been following what Glam Girl was doing. And of course, I mean, I had known you prior to Glam Girl, but I was following what you were doing. And I was seeing things that were being posted, about Chris Nicole and just different ways that your competitors at that time were getting to the national stage. And I thought, you know, there's probably more than one way to get where I'm going. And when you and I started talking and we talked about the philosophy at Glam Girl and the fact that prior to that, I was on limited calories, I was on a lot of cardio, and then talking with you and talking about how we try to keep, you know, our women as healthy as possible. We try to keep our calorie intake as high as possible. We try to limit cardio as much as possible. I really wanted to try something different. And when I made the change over to Glam Girl, my results just started changing. I mean, I made huge gains in terms of leaning out and keeping my calories high. I wasn't spending as much time doing cardio or doing more HIIT training. I was able to keep my calorie intake higher. There was just differences in how Glam Girl was doing it and my experiences prior to that. And again, every experience creates something that you can take into your next chapter that you've learned that will either be successful or helpful in helping somebody else out.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that. And so you kind of came on board as a coach after you basically finished your precision nutrition certification. And tell us why you got into coaching and what's kind of your driver behind that.
Well, I decided at the time I really wanted to influence women that, I don't know, are in my age category, being that I'm 51 now. And not that it, age isn't necessarily a factor, but I find that women really just tend to probably put themselves on the back burner. And I really wanted to influence women by helping them with nutrition. I would get a lot of questions about, well, what do you eat? How do you train? And, of course, everybody's unique to what they need. It's not a one-stop shop, and it's not cookie cutter to just handing over a program. You really have to learn about the women's health and what's important. So I decided I wanted to coach because I wanted to help women achieve that confidence that they're looking for. Everybody's got that inner person that wants to come out. And even though you're in the gym, sometimes the most challenging part is the nutrition part. You can work out, but without having the right nutrition, the results may not come.
And so how long have you been in the gym and kind of working on fitness? Because you said that you started your bikini journey with, you know, hiring a trainer and not really thinking that you were going to do a competition back when you were 47. So is your background, I mean, have you always kind of worked out? Kind of tell us about that.
Yeah, so I always worked out. I remember being like 16, 17 years old, and after dinner asking my parents, can I go to the gym? Because I wanted to work out. And so I really enjoyed working out at that time. It was one of those just hardcore gyms that you go in and you throw the weights around. They even had a boxing ring and everything. And I really just enjoyed how I felt coming out of there. And I would see physiques on the front of Muscle Fitness magazine. And I was like, gosh, I really wish I could look like that. And in my mind, I thought I'd look like that. But, you know, when I look at pictures, like, well, yeah, I never really got there. But I always knew I enjoyed how I felt. So there was always that passion burning inside of me to want to do something in fitness. And I didn't know it would come necessarily down to coaching. But it's been just an awesome journey for me to learn more about the coaching side, learn about who I am, and being able to be a national level competitor and step on stage and find out what I am made of, and then take what I've learned from my experiences and share it with other ladies that want to do the same thing.
Yeah. And I wanted you to share with the audience too, you know, that you are a full-time career woman, and a little bit about your family, because you do have kids. So I feel like, you know, a lot of times we put these limitations on ourselves, like age, or, you know, we've already had kids, so our bodies won't get into, you know, this optimal shape. And I feel like when I look at you and just over the last several years of your journey, and maybe we can share those on Instagram, just kind of how you've progressed even in this sport. But when I looked at you last year and you got first place, and you held your own in the open class at one of the regional shows, and you know, I heard from Sandy's words that the minute she saw you walk on stage, like, she considered you to be pro material, which she's our head judge, and she's our, you know, her opinion matters the most. So I know that day is coming for you. Can you kind of just like share with our listeners about what your day-to-day life is and how you are able to incorporate your training on your road to pro?
Absolutely. So I do have a full-time job. I work for a great company that allows me to work from home. I do travel from time to time, but my travel actually has been a lot more limited, even outside of the quarantine. I've been working more at home and less on the road. But, you know, it's a non-negotiable for me. Every morning is a workout. I get up, I work out, I take my walk. I either go to the gym, or currently now we're in the garage gym, the home gym. And nothing has changed in terms of quarantine or my lifestyle when it comes to this. It's always been, you get up, you work out, you you get your steps in, your HIIT training, and whatever's required for those goals. And then I have my nutrition goal. But I do. I have a family life. I have a son, a young son, 14 years old, that's a busy, busy soccer player. I have a husband that travels sometimes at his peak 2 and 3 weeks out of the month. So I'm, you know, handling home life. And then I do have a soon-to-be, probably 22 on Friday, who is still in Kansas City. But so, yeah, I have children that keep me busy. I have, you know, soccer that keeps me busy. I got my workouts that keep me busy. The days go by really, really fast. And I feel like everybody has the same amount of minutes in the day. How you use them is up to you. And I really try to be purposeful with my time. And I know that I will feel better if I get my workout in. I'm a much better mom and I'm a much better wife when I achieve those goals for the day.
That's awesome. So you kind of talked about your evolution of exercising, and then I wanted to touch about your nutrition. So how that's changed over the years, and maybe, you know, how that was different from when before you were competing, and some of the things that, you know, have worked for you and things like that. So if you could share that, that'd be awesome.
Well, so the reason I hired a trainer in the beginning is I was great at working out, but I was not great at nutrition. So getting my nutrition certification was definitely helpful there, but that came a little bit later into the training. So I really needed assistance with what kinds of nutrition I needed. And, you know, I don't necessarily think lower calories are the best way to handle my program. At that time, my calories were very minimal. And again, my cardio was somewhat high. So, you know, did I look as lean or as round as possible? No. But, you know, today I can say my calories are high. My training is really solid. My health is good. It's not necessarily, you know, we have to make decisions throughout our nutrition journey. Sometimes it's higher fat and lower carbs. Sometimes it's lower carbs and higher fat. But at the end of the day, all these macros fit into what makes me successful. I have to, you know, have all of these things. I can't just delete one and be successful. All this has to go into the pieces of the puzzle that is part of my journey.
Yeah. So I'm going to share with the listeners, since I am your coach, I'm going to kind of talk about your nutrition from what I know of you and from when I was working with you. So we started together back in January of 2019. So about a year and a half ago. And basically Jamie came to me on very, very low calories. And I would say probably like at that point, I don't know if you were doing 90 minutes of cardio, but I know to like kind of get ready for your last show. That was one of the things that we were doing, that you were doing. So immediately we tried to start slowly tapering down your cardio. That was one of the first things. And then we started, once we kind of got rid of that adaptation of how high your cardio had to be to maintain your present body weight, we started reversing your calories up. So we didn't quite get really close to, you know, what I would consider like a true reverse, because we got you ready for stage in April, and that's when you won first place. And then from April into Masters Nationals in July, we're actually able to walk your calories up, and your body at that point was responding so well. You came in, I think, I want to say like 5 pounds lighter than you did at in the April show, and you were eating almost double the calories that you had been when you started like that January. Would you say that that's correct?
Yeah, I would say that was correct. And even going into peak week, I was really surprised at, you know, my peak week plan that you created for me, because I had come in so much lighter and nice and lean, and I was not hungry. I was in a good spot, that there wasn't a water cutting. There wasn't any of that going on. I was feeling really, really good going into Masters Nationals. It was pretty amazing. It was amazing to see how my body responded based on the plans that you were providing me.
Oh, well, your hard work and ethic got you there. So a plan's only as good as those that execute it. So, and you always followed it to an absolute T. So if I look at your journey from January to July, you lost about 4.5 inches in your waist. And so I wanted to address that, because I think that when you started out, you kind of thought I was crazy when I said like you'd be fitting into like a size A waist trainer, and some of the goals that I had for you, like in terms of your weight and everything, but you completely rocked it. Do you want to share with our listeners some of the things that you felt like are kind of instrumental in creating that hourglass and that tighter core that we were able to achieve for you to really nail that hourglass figure on stage?
Oh, yeah. I laugh because everybody who's my weight trainer doesn't really know what diet to buy in. I don't know that weight training is the key to the success of having the training weight, because there are people that achieve it without weight training. But between the nutrition that you were providing me and the weight training I was doing, and I know I bought this weight trainer at a fee and I laughed because I was like, there's no way I can get into a fee. Amy's crazy. She's, what is she thinking? I even tried to give it away and sell it on GroupMe to anybody who would take it. And I'm glad I didn't, because it's really a good story to tell, because after that, as time progressed and I trusted the process that Amy was putting me through, because at that time we were still pretty new together, I went from all the way from a C to an A by July. And now I'm currently in an A, and I'm up probably 10 pounds from my stage weight of Master of Nationals. So the training and the nutrition plan have really been key. And then learning how to do abductions has been another story.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to share with them a little bit about some of your stats. So she started around like a 26-inch waist, and today she's, I think you're close to like 23 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. We were just talking about when you stepped on stage, were you 21? Is that right? Or like a month before Nationals, you got down that far, I think, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But some of the things that we also kind of addressed with you were just some of the foods that may be like more inflammatory. So you did a great job of just kind of pinpointing those foods that you are able to digest well. So as far as like the improvement season after Masters, can you kind of talk about some of the things that you did to improve your physique for this year, based on like what Sandy had given you, as her feedback, last year?
I feel like I have, absolutely. I mean, I am so proud of the gains that I've gotten, and people who say that women that are later in their years have a harder time gaining muscle, I have actually been very successful, I believe. We'll see when I translate the stage, but yes, I have been working really hard and getting some muscle gains. We've been able to increase my calories, so I've been enjoying the added calories and keeping my weight at a manageable weight as we get ready to go on stage, because obviously dates keep moving, so we have to adjust a little bit, because you can't be leaning out for 16 weeks necessarily. Well, you can, but you want to hold on to as much muscle as possible. So between July of last year and now, I feel like, yes, absolutely, I've been putting on glute gains. I've been keeping my waist small, and I've been able to stabilize my nutrition and just feel like it's just a normal routine. This isn't just, hey, temporarily. This is a lifestyle. And to be able to continue doing that and seeing success in the areas that I wanted improvements on has been great for me.
So can you talk a little bit about some post-show things? Because I think that's something that we all kind of go through at a certain phase in the journey. And then at some point it kind of clicks, like from sort of like a hobby to more of a lifestyle. So what would you say, you know, how has post-show or your improvement season been different compared to previous years of when you first started? Can you kind of talk to us about what your experience post-show has been and like how you've gotten through some of those obstacles?
Yes, I think since in the beginning, it was probably this unnatural reaction to want to be able to eat all the foods that you thought you were restricting yourself from, or binge. And so you would be done with post-show and you may have not had a plan. And so there would be the post-show blues, and then you're eating because you don't know what's happening. Now I've learned that post-show is a treat for that day, but getting back on track and starting to lock up my calories or to have a plan in place for reversing out my nutrition and setting up what's going to be next for me has been helpful. I really find that if I know what my next steps are going to be for my show, it helps me to stay on track. And again, it's not any different than my lifestyle. I eat the same things all the time. I mean, I have a MyFitnessPal and I plug them in, even though I still eat the same thing. So not much really changes from post-show for me. It's pretty routine and I like it that way. When I go off track for a day, or if I have off-track eating, I'm pretty good about wanting to get back on track because I just feel better.
Yeah, I would say that as well. You do a good job of really just like recognizing, you know, and just kind of realizing that, okay, that was that moment, and kind of just moving on and moving forward. I think you do such a great job of making it a lifestyle. And I think that you're somebody that a lot of competitors can really look up to with that diligence. So I know that in the past you've had a specific, just because I know as your coach, like from previous coaches, you kind of just had like a set meal plan that was like, these magical foods, follow this and only this. Can you tell us about what that did maybe to your mentality or your day-to-day when you got to more of a suggestion-based plan where you have like a macro exchange and just kind of, I know I've seen it like in the last year, just you educating yourself on how to properly, you know, make substitutions based on your needs. Even just something super relevant recently, I know that you've done is just there in Los Angeles area, there's not much meat. So you've really had to, during this quarantine, make some adjustments. So just share with the listeners maybe how that journey looked and maybe how that food freedom has maybe impacted your journey as well.
Yeah, I do actually prefer the macros with the food suggestions, just because it does allow me to be creative and it does allow me time with my family, because that way I can, I kind of like some other competitors ride back into my fitness pal each day and think, well, what am I going to have for dinner? And kind of plan backwards with that, knowing what my macros are and knowing what my food suggestions are, knowing the serving sizes really makes it easy for me, but it also allows me to be creative. With just a straight meal plan, it didn't give me as much flexibility and it didn't give me the family time. So I really like the fact that I can have that food flexibility. And like you said, there were a few weeks ago when I would go to the grocery store, and there was absolutely no ground turkey. There was no chicken breast. And going to Costco was a complete nightmare at that point. So I knew I had protein powder, and I probably had to implement it a lot more for a few weeks until the stores were able to restock. So the fact that those macros are there really does give me the flexibility. But the food suggestions with the serving sizes is extremely helpful in me staying on track.
Awesome. So when you talk about, you briefly mentioned that you are able to now enjoy family time, or maybe enjoy, paint that picture a little bit more vividly for us. What did that look like before when you were just on a strict meal plan? Did you find that now you're able to like cook for your family and partake in the same type of foods? Just if you don't mind elaborating a little bit on that, because I think a lot of us as competitors kind of struggle with that whole thing, like, okay, well, I have my meal plan, like when I have kids and a husband, like we want to have dinners together. What does that look like? So if you don't mind, just for maybe those competitors that are curious about that.
Well, a meal plan at that time was a little more black and white. I mean, there was no macros. It was, you're having so much of this and so much of that for each meal out of the day, rather than allowing for, if you wanted, you know, five different kinds of protein, you knew you had the flexibility to create a family meal that would fit in to your macros, and you could also feed your family. And so we're all sitting down eating the same thing, rather than me eating my plan over here in the corner and trying to be as quiet about it as possible. My family's very supportive, but you know, you want to not publicize every time you're eating something different than your family, nor do you want to spend the time making a separate meal for yourself and then you're doing double time in the kitchen. So the black and white just wasn't flexible at all.
Okay. And then I think another valuable thing that we've implemented for you is just, I've seen your body respond really well to refeeds in the past, especially when we have to keep calories pretty tight and you're leaning out. It's kind of a good bump to just stimulate your metabolism. I know from, you know, coaching you that you respond well to that. What was that like in your past? Were you able to do those types of meals, or was that an additional thing that kind of contributed to a black and white type of situation?
I didn't even know what a refeed was prior to coming on with Glam Girl. It wasn't in my meal plan. It wasn't something that was listed there as even an option. I had no idea what a refeed was when you started asking me, did you have your refeed when you first introduced my plan? I'm like, well, I didn't even want to tell you, but I didn't even know what it was. So there wasn't receipts that were listed on my plan. There was never a discussion about having something extra in substitution of a post-workout meal. There wasn't even really truly a post-workout meal. It was just a meal plan, pretty black and white, 1 through 6.
Okay. Yeah, that makes it tough to have much gray. So I know for myself, like when I was in that situation where I had that, I had a lot of post-show rebound just because I was so trapped in that black and white mentality. It's kind of like Rebecca McConville, the RD, was saying, it's like that bad boy mentality. Like the more you're told no, the better looking he gets, right? So sometimes it can just be like even a mental break from the monotony of dieting. And even that can help with like cortisol and just our mental health, I feel like, and social as well. So why don't you share with us? I know right now, obviously we're social distancing and things like that, but where are some times in your life that you've been able to, because you previously were traveling for your work and things like that. I think, again, I just want to kind of point out, because I don't think there's a lot of people out there that deal with a job that's on the road. And again, I think that people put that as a limitation to their contest prep. So can you share with our listeners some tips on once things do start opening up, like how did you deal with being on the road? And I mean, it was like you were in hardcore contest prep a couple of the times. I know like a couple weeks out from like nationals, I feel like was one of the times. So tell us about that. How do you adapt to that?
Interesting is that when I'm on the road, I almost pack my food before I pack my clothes. I think ahead, how long am I going to be gone, and what does my meal plan look like today, and how can I implement different substitutions if needed, if it wasn't portable, or how could I make it portable? And I would discuss with you, I'm going to be on the road for this many days, what can we do? And pretty much my meal plan, even anybody's meal plan, can be portable. It's just a matter of making sure that you prep it ahead of time. A lot of these proteins are easy to travel with. You can travel with carbs. You can travel with vegetables. It's very easy to implement. You just have to have the mentality and the discipline to prep it before you go. Now, when I was traveling for work quite a bit, I would even opt out of lunches sometimes because I would run late for meetings, or you couldn't anticipate what traffic was going to be like. So I always have food with me. I never wanted to be caught without having any food, because then that creates that hunger marker that could cause you to go off track. So I've always been a planner, and even thinking about coming up with my trip for North Americans, I'm thinking, how am I going to drink all my water on the plane when I can't set up to wear a mask? So I'm thinking ahead at all times when it comes to making sure that I am not without what I need to stay on track.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I know that sounds really weird. I can care less about the clothes some days, but I really want to make sure I have the food.
No, I am like, seriously, when I go on trips, I'm so high maintenance about my food. It takes me hours more of my time to portion everything out and measure it way more than packing my clothes. So yeah, I totally feel you on that one. I am so in the same boat. And I know like one time I remember I feel like you had run out of food somehow and you totally made it work. You were at a hotel and I think you went to like a supermarket or something and you just ended up buying some jerky. But again, like that's the beauty of having sort of like a macro budget as a backup, is that you can, especially if you're in a pinch, you can just kind of like make whatever you have available. So that can definitely translate to those of you in quarantine. Like Jamie kind of worked around the limitation of not having meat. Just something to think about. Like there's always a way to fight through something if your why is strong enough. So to just kind of wrap things up, can you give us what competing has done for you? And if you have any advice for competitors out there that are considering, doing their first show, can you just kind of share that with us?
So my why really started personally in just wanting to challenge myself. And then it's also evolved to me helping other women get to the stage, or helping other women get into a wedding dress, or just making them feel beautiful and confident, because, again, we all have this inner person that wants to come out, and I want to be able to be there with them on their journey. Now, for ladies that are getting ready to get on stage, just keep pushing, believe in the process, be consistent. I mean, consistency is key. And just knowing that you're going to get there, just trust the process. And when you get there, enjoy being on stage, because it's such a great experience being on stage and putting the work in to that journey to get there.
Awesome. So, and then just to close out too, if you can just give us your, any advice on like any kind of athletes that maybe were thinking about hiring you as a coach, just kind of your why behind coaching, and maybe what to look for in a coach, something along those lines.
Sure. Anybody who's thinking about hiring me, I walk the walk. I live the life, which is really key. And that's one of the reasons I came on with Glam Girls. I know that you, as my coach, walk the walk and live the life. And I find that that's very important. And we're always evolving, and we want to be able to, or I want to be able to help each individual. And women's health is so important. So, you know, I'm here. I'm going through the experience with you. Each one of the girls that I train now, I feel like I'm walking their experience with them. So I take it all personally, which is good, I think.
Yeah, you are such a good connector. And I feel like that's your special gift, is that you really connect with people and you really care. And I think that ultimately that's what makes a good coach, is that just that you do care, and that you are trying to base it on the best interests of the client, but also have that mixture of science-based evidence and, you know, the backing behind that, and trying to do it in the most sustainable way so that it can be a lifestyle. And right now, Jamie and I tandem coach. So as the ladies go through the process, basically, you know, I kind of design their programming. So we work hand in hand. So you basically get like a 2-for-1 deal. So yeah, but she's amazing with just helping ladies with posing and getting on the phone with them and getting, you know, what motivates them and really connecting with them. So you are never going to go wrong if you go ahead and apply and reach out for Jamie, because she is a fantastic coach and a phenomenal athlete. So she's truly, you know, a great inspiration on many levels. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on today, Jamie. If our listeners wanted to find you on Instagram, what is your handle?
It's Jamie, Jamy, Lynn, Lynn, 68.
All right. And I'll put that, I'll be sure to put that in the show notes as well as the application link. So you can hit the drop down box. Once you hit the get started button on the application, you can actually request Jamie as your coach. And she not only coaches physique competitors, she also coaches lifestyle competitors as well. So that is that. You can find that on glamgirlbikini.com. And you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And without, guess, do you have anything, any last words to say before we kind of close things out?
Just thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate being able to tell my story, and I hope that it resonates with somebody out there and they feel like they can reach out to us and maybe take that step themselves.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Jamie. And this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.